So I think the biggest thing that Canadian planning can offer the world, but a sense of humility and a sense that, and a real overwhelming sense of humanness and kindness and empathy and all of those good things that I think are, like I said, so important to modern agencies and modern workplaces.
So hello and welcome to Grow Up, an ABG Canada podcast, where we give strategic thinkers and creative tinkerers opportunities to grow. I'm your host, Michelle Lee, and today on the show, and actually for the next few weeks, we'll be chatting to industry professionals about what makes strategic planning in Canada different from the rest of the world, and what a Canadian style of strategic planning might have to offer the industry. Today, we're joined by Graham Lang, CCO at Taxi. You know, we had our event back at the end of May, and we've been doing this continuing series chatting with other expats and other Canadians that have lived and worked abroad to get their perspectives. Terrific if you could just introduce yourself to our listeners. Tell us a bit about your background, especially the other markets that you've worked in. And then we'll crack into the core of the question.
Thank you. Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me. So my name is Graham Lang. I'm the current CCO at Taxi, and I do the region of North America. So that includes our offices in Canada, Vancouver, Montreal, Toronto, and then I also oversee our New York and our office in New York as well. And so, you know, I was born actually in Zimbabwe, lived and grew up in South Africa. And then started my career actually working in South Africa at an amazing, amazingly transformational time, for South Africa. As Nelson Mandela was voted in as the first black president, a ton of brands came back into the country and it was a real buoyant time, an amazing time to sort of grow up and have my first foray into the industry. And then after working for some time in South Africa, I was headhunted and moved to London and worked for Saatchi & Saatchi London, which of course is a hugely famous agency and got to do a whole bunch of global and local work at Saatchi's. And then I moved into, I became the creative lead, the global creative lead on Land Rover and Range Rover, and that was working in a global capacity, still based out of London for Y&R. And then I actually moved back to South Africa to run the African network for Y&R at the time. So based back in South Africa and doing work for South Africa as well as into Africa. And then made the move up to North America, to Toronto, and where I first started working at TBWA in Toronto. And now I find myself here. So I've kind of certainly been around, for sure.
And I'm curious, what brought you to the Canadian market? Was it for an opportunity or?
After I moved back to South Africa from London, I always wanted to be in North America, and I thought it would be the US, and I thought it would be somewhere typical like LA or New York. But after going back to South Africa, my family went from having one child to three children because I had twins in South Africa. And so, you know, I was less keen on moving to New York with three boys. And so when an opportunity came up to work with TBWA in Toronto, Juniper Park, I came out and I met the city, and I really loved the city of Toronto. I loved the neighborhoods. I loved the whole vibe. I loved the cultural diversity and all of those good things, as well as just, I kind of really resonated with a lot of Canadian values. And so an opportunity arose, and we decided to take it. And it's been very good to us.
Great. Amazing. And so how long have you been in Canada now?
I think I'm in my fifth year, edging my way towards the end of my fifth year in Canada. And it's flown. It really has flown. It feels like I got here last week.
Yeah. So that's super interesting because you've worked, obviously, this is your third market that you've obviously landed in, I guess. What have been some of your reflections, I mean, over the 5 years? Has anything particularly stood out to you in terms of what a Canadian style of strategic planning offers?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's, to be honest, I think there's a lot of there's a lot of similarities to most like really sophisticated developed markets. Like there's a ton of really smart people, I think, working in the Canadian market. The planners in particular have been super, super impressed with. And there's a reason why I think Canadian creatives and planners travel well. And you'll see Canadian planners and creatives popping up at all the best agencies all over the world, is because I think that there's a really good industry and a really healthy understanding of what makes good marketing from both a creative and an efficacy point of view. I do think that as we know, Canada is obviously a smaller market than the US, and we are so kind of linked. So there is this sort of like tension between, I think, a lot of Canadian agencies and a lot of Canadian planners being really good at adapting and localizing big programs and big campaigns coming from the US and other markets. But I also think that there's a fiercely independent and fiercely local aspect to Canadian planning and Canadian creativity. And so I see the sort of ambidextrous style of being able to be really smart at adaptation and rollout, as well as being really awesome at creation and starting ideas and starting campaigns and programs from the ground up. So I've been really impressed with how ambidextrous Canadian planners are and how quickly they are able to assess how to localize and adapt, and then where's best to create new. And to give those, and to be honest with clients and honest with brands about when, you know, it's more efficient and effective to use their budget to roll out adaptions, and when really it's critical for them to kind of like take a beat and create or pivot. So that's been, I think that's been something that I've been impressed with, or have, you know, from an outsider looking in, I've been really impressed with, because it's, and I say that because it's not an easy thing to do sometimes. Obviously, every agency, any good creative agency wants to create their own work. But I think that there's a maturity and a real transparency with the way planners assess the market needs and the way they feed that back into client.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, it's really interesting because, I mean, obviously, and rightly so, there's a lot of conversation that has taken place about the changing face of the Canadian population. I mean, just the number of immigrants that we're welcoming in. Do you see that? Like, I'm curious how you see that. Do you feel that potentially might mean more original creative coming out of Canada? That you know, maybe some of the values or the insights or the cultures or things they might need to be aligned a little bit more closely with, you know, what Canada looks like today or how it continues to change?
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me with the diversity aspect, and maybe just because I grew up in South Africa, which is an incredibly diverse country, 11 official languages, and real sort of cultural like differences, and then working in London and across Europe, and again, you're kind of dealing with a lot of different, like, for me, it's just always been part and parcel of like what we do. And so I'm not that sort of taken aback, or it's not that foreign to me from my perspective. I think the bigger question really is about, as brands look to micro slice those audiences, and as we look to deliver specific marketing and spend specific budget against all those different permutations, what is the best recommendation? Is it either to create an idea or a platform that kind of talks to the universal idea of whatever that brand needs to push forward? Because I'm a big proponent in big creative platforms. I think platform thinking is the most powerful thing that we can still do, because it becomes your North Star for a brand. It becomes the thing that organizes everything. And then it really is about understanding how to attach that platform to different audiences. So it really, I don't think that it's such a differentiated aspect in terms of what Canada's going through or how they're needing to talk to a platitude audiences. For me, it's just about, what are you recommending, and what is the rationale and the reason why are you choosing to spend the money on the platforms that you're spending, and what is the messaging, and making sure that every brand asset that you're putting out there, no matter how you're micro slicing it, ladders up to a big idea or a platform, and that's just good planning and good communications and a good working relationship with you and your clients and your media partners and all the rest of it.
What about the relationship between planner and creative? I mean, obviously there's fundamentals to the craft. They're not going to change no matter what market you work in. But have you seen any differences there?
Yeah. I mean, I could talk for days about the relationship between planners and creatives and my experiences with them in different geographies. If that's helpful.
Yeah. Let's focus on that.
Okay, cool. So as I was saying, my first foray into advertising was in South Africa. And in South Africa, at the time, you know, there was strategic planning, but it was more, it wasn't as defined or as well-constructed or well-baked, obviously, as the planning culture in London. So by the time when I got to London, I was really kind of like on my heels about how smart and how organized and what an amazing tool strategic planning is for the creative and the special dynamic that exists between the two, because really what you're doing, any great creative idea is based on an understanding of the target audience. And then really what we all love to call, what are those insights? What are those unlocks? What are those nuances? Or what is that product differentiation? So I really kind of grew to appreciate the role of creative planning and its impact on the creative product when I got to London and worked with a whole bunch of really smart people there. Not to say that there weren't really good planners in South Africa, but like there absolutely are, but it just felt like there was more of a culture and a community around the importance of creative, you know, planning and creative planning. My experience in Canada has kind of been the same. I've always had really good partners, in the strategy process. And obviously the more senior you are as a creative, if you're a creative director, an ECD or CCO, you really are needing to kind of like spend time with your creative partners. I mean, your planning partners, to talk about the brief and talk about the challenges and the opportunities. And it's usually out of those informal frickin' frack back and forth sessions at the start of any project that you really get to define what the white space is or what the opportunity is. And so the relationship between creative and strategic partner is critical, especially as you kind of get more senior towards that, you know, the top of the triangle. Because I think, you know, I'm accountable for the efficacy of the entire campaign. And so is the strategic planner. And so is, you know, anyone else that's senior in an agency. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's critical, and that dialogue and that connection and to find that sort of great working balance between the two is absolutely critical. And it's critical for that to be for you to have an informal relationship with your strategic partner. So it shouldn't feel like it's work. It shouldn't feel like, oh, let's book some time to kind of have this meeting. It should just be like, let's take a walk around the block, or let's grab a coffee, or let's jump on a call. And I always find that type of a relationship with my strategic partner the best and most fruitful.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I guess, you know, kind of going back to the original question of how strategic planning in Canada is different, we've touched, I think, a fair bit on that. Then the other part is kind of what you think Canada can uniquely offer the industry. What are your thoughts there?
I think this is the more sort of defining question and the reason why the Canadians travel so well in our industry. And I think it's because there's an overwhelming sense of like being really good at planners are really good from Canada. Like they are really accomplished, they're really good, they're really smart. But I do feel that there is there's a humility as well. So in my experience, you know, working in other regions, and by the way, I'm not going to name names, but planners have been some of the most arrogant people in agencies because they're so smart and they're, you know, they're kind of juggling a lot and they have such a strong POV on things. I think I've met, and this is not to stereotype Canadians either, but I think I've met smart people who haven't been afraid to be wrong, who haven't been afraid to be vulnerable with their creative partners or even in front of clients. And I think that's something that is very, very powerful, especially within the way in which sort of the modern or current workplace is shaping itself, where authenticity and vulnerability and humility are key ingredients for building relationships, building teams, and moving things forward. And so I think the biggest thing that Canadian planning can offer the world is just a great, obviously, like being super smart and like being well educated and having gone through great college systems and really good agencies, but a sense of humility and a real overwhelming sense of humanness and kindness and empathy and all of those good things that I think are, like I said, so important to modern agencies and modern workplaces.
Yeah. So I think something that's really interesting about this comment that you've come to a realization is that on the night, so at the end of May, when we had our actual event, there was a fair bit of discussion around this. And so absolutely, yes, positive part is, you know, if I was to say it kind of crassly, Canadians are nice and, you know, we're empathetic and, you know, we have humility and, you know, all the great things that you said. And then pushed to the other extreme, what we talked about was, well, are we too nice? Like, do we not push the work enough? Are we too concerned about not ruffling feathers and not, you know, having confrontation? Like, I'm curious what your thoughts might be there. And again, maybe it might be a cultural thing because, you know, we had people who had worked in Eastern Europe and in other markets where just maybe, or Brazil or wherever, where maybe the, you know, just the dialogue can sometimes be a bit more vibrant. Just curious your thoughts there.
Yeah. I avoided saying the word nice because I do think that it is a stereotype and I hate the stereotyping. And so like, I think what I'm scratching at a little bit more here is, you know, when you're working with a strategic partner or a strategist who has an overwhelming sense of bravado, who is loud and who is like overly obtuse, you can be very easily swayed by the energy and passion they're putting into the point, as opposed to actually thinking about whether or not that point or that strategy or that point of view is the right point of view. And so it's kind of dangerous. And there's been a preconception in our industry that we all need to be showmen. We show people and we need to stand up in front of an audience and we need to be able to turn it on and, you know, do all that kind of stuff. And that's tap dancing. What I'm kind of scratching at more is I think that it's not a niceness. There's a humanness or a disarming, like transparency and honesty. And once you get past the barrier of being vulnerable, the barrier of being more empathetic, and if you want to call that nicer, fine, but that's been my sort of assessment of it. And so I don't think it's a niceness, because you know, believe me, I've dealt with a lot of planners here who've pushed back strongly if they have certain convictions. It's not that Canadian planners or Canadians will roll over on a point or will capitulate. Not at all. I just think that the approach is far more connected and human, and that is refreshing. And that is refreshing. So yeah, that's how I would kind of delineate the difference between nice and more human and empathetic.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that, I mean, that is nice to hear, though.
Yeah, it is nice. Yeah.
So that's really great. I mean, again, your reflections, like, is there anything that you think Canadians as like strategists can learn from some of the other strategists that you've worked with in other markets? You know, it's interesting when we first kind of kicked off the conversation, you talked about how it kind of comes naturally to the markets you've worked in. So when you were in South Africa, there's 11 official languages. In London, you're often considering how, you know, campaigns or how you might connect with different folks in other parts of Europe. And it's just, you know, one example, again, something that came up on the night was that it's interesting. Sometimes the briefs that you get from clients talk about, you know, two, and I'm you know, being very broad here and blunt, but two broad markets being Quebec and the rest of Canada. And the rest of Canada obviously being massive. do you think there's anything that we can learn as it relates to that in terms of, again, your experiences working in other markets and how you kind of adjust or acknowledge some of the differences between people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the Quebec and rest of Canada thing is has been fascinating and has been really interesting. And I have to say, I've got so much reverence and so much love for the work and for the creative community in Quebec. I mean, it's just from the design to the film to like production to just the way just the whole vibe. It's amazing. So I'm a huge, huge fan. But I do think that there is this. You know, there is this sort of like unofficial sort of border, and I do think that it's important to acknowledge the regionality and the localism, and it's backed up by some incredible talent as well. And so I feel like my POV was always like I'm you know, it's the one time when imposter syndrome really works for you, because it's sort of like, you know, I see myself as a sort of a global someone with global experience. So like my whole career has been going into different markets and not necessarily being native from those markets or born into those markets. And so I think it does help me. It does help me. And I think it does help whoever it is I'm working with, but so that they're not seeing me as someone who's has a kind of a binary or a specific connection to a region. And so it's helped me because I've been able to look at it, you know, objectively and sometimes from a 30,000 feet point of view. But I do really, really, whether you're working across Europe or whether you're working in Africa or whether you're working in Canada, you will find incredible talent and really unique insights from specific geographies. And it's really important to pay attention to those things and to let the people working in those geographies feel proud about and have investment in the work that they're working on. Like it doesn't work when you come in and from a client point of view or from a strategy or creative, when you start mandating how things should be, it really is about, you know, it really is about collaboration and letting those geographies lead because no one knows better than people on the ground. And as long as you have good people, you surround yourself with good people, good talent, you should be good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Anything else come to mind? I mean, you know, you've worked in some, you know, pretty big markets. You know, obviously there's been a ton of really amazing award-winning well-known campaigns that have come out of both of those. Anything else that you think a strategist can kind of beg, borrow and steal?
Yeah. I mean, I think from Australia, you know, I mean, I think the thing is that, you know, it really is becoming more and more important for us to recognize as like new media and new platforms become more available, and as our ability to kind of segment and dissect markets becomes easier and more automated, it really is important for us to find humanity and to find something emotively, something that evokes emotion in what we do. And so I still believe that the best campaigns and the best ideas and the best responses that we can give to clients is to unlock what big, great, beautiful brand platforms are, because those things will endure. If you create big platforms, everything else can kind of trickle down under it. And so as we start to get infatuated by the role of AI and automation and all of this good stuff, we can't forget that emotion is a very powerful motivator, and the connection between the planning community and the creative community is key to unlocking how to attach emotion to brands. Everything else is science and data and important and awesome, and we should be into it. But that would be from everything I've seen and the most success I've had running campaigns in multiple geographies. The best work and the most enduring work has always been when we've been able to unlock something emotive and evocative from a brand platform point of view. So that would be my final message. Don't forget about brand platforms.
Yeah. And interestingly, with those brand platforms, I mean, do you find that challenging given, again, we are a smaller market, we do have smaller budgets. Does that become harder?
No, I don't think so. I think like a a brand platform can start small. And again, a brand platform can start on social. A brand platform can start on TikTok. A brand platform can start as an out-of-home piece. For me, a brand platform is media agnostic. It's channel agnostic. What it is, it's finding a white space for a brand to own that really attaches itself to an audience or to the audience in a way that makes it memorable. And the way to do that is through understanding, you know, the human condition and figuring out what motivates them. So budget has got nothing to do with like unlocking big, beautiful white spaces and brand platforms for clients.
Okay, great. Well, we'll leave it there. I mean, I liked all the good things you had to say about us. And
there's a lot of good to say.
Oh, good, good. All right. Well, thank you again so much for your time.
Thank you. It's been great to be here with you and I appreciate the opportunity.
No worries.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share this episode, and leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts.